We got breaking news. President Trump announces landmark deal.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
That's right. It is time for Seculo once again. Will Haynes is joining me in studio. Jeff Balaban from ACLJ Jerusalem is going to be popping by a little bit later remotely because he is obviously in Jerusalem from ACLJ Jerusalem. We're going to talk about what's going on in the war in Israel, but also we can't start the show without talking about the breaking news that just occurred, which is that President Trump put out a statement saying that we have a deal with China. I think this is probably good for everybody. Look, I think there's been obviously a lot of debate over how we have a relationship with China, but as I've said this entire time, the idea that we are going to be completely free of working with China is a bit absurd. And look, it's not to say that it's good. It's just the way things are right now. Sometimes you have to look at reality. You have to look at the reality of the situation. It's like people tell me, they're like, Logan, you should be against all war. And it's like, I am against all war. I wish there was no war. However, we live in a world where there is war. So we have to at least talk about it because we have to be realistic. So Trump posts this on Truth Social just a few minutes ago. Our deal with China is done, subject to final approval with President Xi and me. Full magnets and any necessary rare earths will be supplied up front by China. Likewise, we will provide China what was agreed to, including Chinese students using our colleges and university, which has always been good with me. We are getting a total of 55% tariffs. China's getting 10%. Relationship is excellent. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Of course, that is in a signature all caps style President Trump post again on Truth Social. So again, announces, Will, a done deal with China. And there are a lot more details. That's sort of the overarching.
Right.
But I think this is to settle down.
Right. We haven't seen the full readout because it says, among other things we agreed to. Obviously, this comes out of the negotiating teams from China and the Trump administration in London. And they have negotiated this deal. And when he says the deal is done, meaning they have agreed to an agreement. They have come to an agreement. They know what each side is getting. The final sign-off is all that is left, and that would be by Xi Jinping in China and President Trump here in the United States. But I think it's also interesting, and we'll get into this as we go through, because the inflation numbers for May just came out. And this was something that, if you saw all the hysteria around the tariffs, that this was going to wreck our economy, that this was a disaster.
Armageddon.
It was all at Trump's doing. And what we've seen is that inflation actually rose less than they were projecting. It rose by 0.1%. 0.1%. So the year-over-year inflation right now is currently at 2.4%. The Fed's target rate, because the Fed and the way our economy runs is based off target inflation. They actually don't want inflation too low because that is how our economy works with the central banking. So the target rate is 2%. It's only 0.4 above the target rate. And if you will call back to the previous administration, which had a peak inflation rate year over year of 9.1%, and you're drawing a contrast when people said this was going to be the end of the American economy, I think we can safely put that to rest, that the negotiations, the tariffs, at least up until this point, and if we get signatures on this deal, have seemed to have worked in favor of the American economy.
Yeah, I think there'll be a long-term impact. We'll have to see what it looks like. You know, I'm curious when we have this conversation a year from now,
right,
what we're looking at here. And I think a lot of people are anticipating a President Trump move like this with many other countries. And what do those final tariffs kind of look like? You know, we're not in the days of the 200% tariffs and all that. Clearly, again, this was President Trump at the negotiating table, as we told you the whole time, by the way. CNN and Fox News, for that matter, are going to give you two very different points of view. We're going to always tell you what the truth is. And the truth is, we can see it because we can tell what President Trump's playbook is, which is, it's in the book. It's in the art of the deal. You go big. You go big and you work your way to actually where you want. And that's clearly what's happened here with China. And including, by the way, look, some of you may think that's controversial, allowing the students in to do their work here, which is, he said, it's always been good with him. It's a typical President Trump move. Also, try to get you on board. How do you feel about that? Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. We take live calls. That's right. Give us a call right now. Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are lighting up. I want to make sure for all of you joining us right now, because we can tell when the numbers go up, that means a lot of you are just clicking over and watching on YouTube and on Rumble and all of our social media platforms. We want to make sure we restate what's going on. That's right. President Trump made a landmark announcement saying that we have a deal secured with China. And look, this is going to be controversial for a lot of people because you have a different tariff situation. It is a tariff situation that is more in favor of America than it has been in the past. Because I think, well, when they hear, you hear percentile, you still go, well, how come they get 55%, we get 10%? It feels like it's still backwards, still feels like it's not quite there yet. But compared to where we were, this is a big improvement.
Well, with the U.S. keeping 55% tariffs on Chinese goods, which is what, when we were raising our tariffs, people were saying we're going to spiral the inflation out of control. What you're actually seeing is that is still keeping the messaging and the plan of President Trump to want to bring manufacturing to the U.S. There's still that incentive to bring this back to America to avoid the manufacturing and situations when you're importing goods from China being slapped with a 55% tariff. Now, they also were able to negotiate down China's charged rate on American goods, which helps American businesses that want to export things to China, because it raises the demand for the American goods in China. By having only the 10% tariff, that actually helps American manufacturers and American products that are sent over to China, because the demand in China will rise for that. So that does seem to fit within even the entire goal of President Trump. By still us keeping a higher tariff on Chinese goods is to try to promote American businesses to compete with China. Yeah. But at the same time, China having a much lower tariff rate on the things we send there raises demand, helps pour money back into the U.S. economy. The student visa thing is interesting.
Yeah, I want to take a call actually on this, and then we'll spin into that, because I think that is where people are going to go, okay, I'm not sure how we feel about that. That looked like something that maybe a lot of our listeners were supportive of, but you know, I'm not so sure. Deb, go ahead. You're in Oregon, and you're listening on the radio, but you're also on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call, and I do distrust China, and I expect the students will be used as spies against us as much as possible.
Deb, I don't want to ever paint a people group or a country with a wide swath, but we have seen that happen a lot. We have seen the police forces that have been popped up in cities across this country. It is not like we haven't seen China do a little infiltrating, if you will, not always on the up and up.
Well, and to Deb's point, what have we seen over the last 2 weeks?
Oh, that's true.
Just a couple days ago, we saw that, and many people miss this because this happened in the midst of all the LA stuff just earlier this week. But a third individual has been arrested and charged by the Department of Justice. FBI led the investigation of a student that was doing PhD work at the University of Michigan, once again, the same university, and they were bringing in biomaterial that was not disclosed, that was being sent from China to the United States for nefarious purposes. That comes off the heels of, I believe it was just last week, two individuals from China charged with smuggling in a fungus that would wreak havoc on crops in America. But on top of that, it sometimes goes undetected, and when humans ingest it, it can do very bad things to the human population, including just the population of the United States could be affected in perpetuity based off of those that bio agent. So, Deb, you're not wrong, but
to at least have those thoughts cross your mind.
And I think here's the flip side of this: if this were the deal that was negotiated under a Biden administration, the Biden administration did not seem skeptical of the Chinese Communist Party. They didn't seem, they would make statements about, you know, Chinese aggression and that Xi Jinping was, you know, targeting around the world and doing all these things. But there was no teeth behind it.
Yeah, they're playing politics, but not for the American people.
This is the, obviously the student visas was a negotiating tactic, as we pointed out many weeks ago when they paused all student visas or even faculty, any academic visas from China. But it was clearly used as a negotiation tactic. Now, the flip side of that is that we know that that individual that was arrested this week had been doing this under the Biden administration, sending things into the United States. It wasn't caught under that, because what were they doing at the FBI? They were focusing on sending spies in the Catholic churches, or parents at school boards, or their DEI messaging within the entire bureau. When instead they should have been doing things like this, looking for foreign threats on American soil. And that's what the new FBI is doing. So the trade deal, I think you also have to look at it, that this administration is skeptical of China. Mm-hmm. They have a healthy respect for the adversary that China is. And so I think if you take this and the things that they can get out of it, and can actually monitor, they can monitor these tariff numbers, they can do that. The State Department can beef up the way the visa program is run. It doesn't mean open season.
I mean, Will, I think you're yesterday I may have been the bad guy. I think today you are, because the comments are saying, Will, you're like justifying them bringing in bioweapons. You're like, it's fine.
I'm not. I'm actually saying the opposite of that. I'm saying that.
I'm putting those words in your
mouth. What we are doing is seeing that our FBI is charging these people and putting them in prison. Mm-hmm. They're going to put them behind bars. They're going to charge them with potential acts of terrorism. You can look at the counts of what they've been charged with already. I'm not saying that's okay. I am saying that this was a negotiating tactic that, for the economic side of it, I understand it. And I understand where the president got to. But I also think that the Justice Department, the FBI, those, they're not just going to allow writ large people just to go on their way. They now know what the MO is. This isn't a spy balloon traversing the entire United States.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to even remember all of those little things kind of in that post-COVID world. All the little things that happened from China, including that balloon. I want to go to Michael, who is calling from the state of Florida. Michael, you are on the air. Watch on YouTube.
It's just my opinion, but from my perspective, I'm going to give Trump an A+ for his first 4 or 5 months in office, both him and his administration. He promised make America great again, and it clearly, that's what he's doing. He's said, you know, America first. And show me a spot where that hasn't been pushed forward.
Yeah, Michael, I mean, I think there's a lot of people who are happy with President Trump. I think there's a lot of people who are upset with President Trump. It is just the nature of it. Look, I'm looking at the comments right now. The comments are very, when you start doing deals with China.
Right.
Which again, I told you and I said, and I'm not saying I disagree with those deals, because I think it's inevitable we have to work with China. I think America is not ready to live in a China-less world. It'd be virtually impossible, sadly. I'm not saying that's a good thing, by the way. That is just how we've built this country right now. We're all goods. Everything, looking around this studio, 95% of the things in the studio were probably at least at some point touched by China, whether that was, you know, the materials being used, or whether it was the screens being made, or the microphone in front of me. There is a pretty good chance that all of it had something somewhere, again, that China touched it. So we can't live in like a la-la land where we go, well, we're just going to cut them off. However, President Trump played big. He got a little innovative, tried something new, and it looks like it may pay off. And we are seeing moderate. I mean, again, the market rose, you said, like a little bit. Like, we haven't had a crazy response yet, but it just happened.
Right. That's right. And so, once again, it's also not a fine. It hasn't been signed yet.
I don't even know what it says.
When it's fully signed, I expect the world to rejoice that this there is the end of this trade war with China. But to your point as well, Logan, and when people may be saying, like, I don't want to do anything with China at this point, that's a very noble goal. But the reality is, what would crash the economy totally? Globally, is if you completely cut off China 100%, because every nation has become so beholden to them because of their humanitarian abuses. That the reason they can produce these things for so much cheaper and everyone can enjoy it. So you can't just pull the plug on it. You have to do incremental steps to negotiate to put the United States in a much better economic position, so that going down the road, we can strengthen ourselves. We can become more self-reliant.
And these are bigger expectations and bigger wants. When you look at a Gulf of America, you know, that kind of thing, and then you see this, that we're negotiating having a deal with China, I do feel that I understand that those message points get a little blurry, because you go, on one hand, we're making changes to be pro-America that are meaningless in the generic sense. They're not going to do anything to you economically. They're not going to necessarily do anything for your country long term. It's just sort of a fun little change. And then on the other hand, you're going to negotiate with Iran. You're going to negotiate with China. But again, that's been President Trump's deal. He'll sit down with anybody. Sat down in North Korea last time. I mean, this is not a guy who has shut himself off. For so much as they want to pretend that the Trump administration is isolationist, I think you can very much turn to the Biden administration and go, man, they were as isolationist as you could if you were at all an adversary. You wouldn't even talk to Russia. Wouldn't even talk to North Korea. Wouldn't even have these conversations. Would not go to bat for anything for America because it was all political show. And the American people responded to that. I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. Look, the ACLJ hard at work right now. My brother Jordan, he is in the UN, or he'll be in the UN next week. He is in Europe right now at our ECLJ, working really hard. We're going to talk to him soon about everything they're doing. Of course, we're going to be joined by our team at ACLJ Jerusalem in just a few minutes, so stay tuned. We're going to stick on this topic for a little while longer because a lot of you have a lot of some important questions. And if you do have one of those questions or comments, I encourage you to call in 1-800-684-3110. You can put your comments in as well on YouTube or on Rumble, but we always like to hear your voice. So, and I know there's a call that Will wanted to make sure we took off right from the top. You want to go to Brian? Is that right?
Yeah, let's go to Brian.
Brian in Virginia. He's listening on a radio. Brian, you're on the air.
Hey, I really appreciate you taking my call. And I really appreciate everything you do. You know, God bless your show. Just want you to know that we're praying for you.
Thank you, Brian.
And we're praying for Israel. And I love Trump. I mean, I voted for him. And I love everything he's doing domestically. And even some of this stuff with the tariffs. But I think he's dropping the ball with Israel. Because they could break out any time. Iran could break out any time with a bomb. Mm-hmm. And now we're going into, like, the sixth round of talks. I mean, it's a joke. So, I don't know. I just think President Trump's ego maybe gets the best of him where he thinks he can do a deal with anyone. But these are people that want to kill us.
Yeah, and, Brian.
You know, we're the great.
And I didn't mean to cut you off there. Go ahead. Finish your comment.
Now, if you're saying, you know, we're considered the great Satan, but Israel's the little Satan. But, you know, they're on the front line fighting for us. So I just, you know, hope that Israel takes, you know, charge because they would have already, you know, bombed Iran. But the problem is that, you know, Trump's told them not to. And I think, you know, they're more afraid of us and what, you know, we would do as far as maybe withholding funding or weapons or whatever. But I just hope and pray that they take action soon because it just doesn't seem like Trump is going to do anything.
So, Brian, there's actually some new comments out of the president this morning that are being reported. He was on a podcast and he was saying that he's less confident now than he would have been a few months ago about a deal being done with Iran. He's saying something happened to them, but I'm much less confident of a deal being made. And then he also repeated that the United States would not allow them to have a nuclear weapon. He said it would be nicer to do it without warfare, without people dying. It's so much nicer to do it that way. But I don't think I see the same level of enthusiasm from them to make a deal. So, Brian, I 100% hear you. We obviously are some of the biggest supporters of Israel in this sphere. And when you talk about this situation, though, President Trump ran and has been open about wanting no new wars,
not wanting war.
He wants to end war. So, and I hear what you're saying. If he thought he can make the deal, you're dealing with genocidal theocrats in Iran.
It's very different.
Sometimes you can't make that deal. He tried it, but it also sounds like he is committed to stopping them from having a nuclear weapon, whether that's Israel gets the go ahead and we say we will give support. Who knows what that may look like? But I do think that he doesn't have unlimited patience for the Ayatollahs.
I do think he reads the room, though, and checks the temperature of what's going on within his own people. And this President Trump. And I know that there was a while there where, sure, it felt very pro-Israel. And then there was a moment that felt like it was wavering a little bit. Certainly, he's called to end the wars, and I think that doesn't necessarily mean the end of the war the way the Israelis want it to happen. Even if his own ambassador, Mike Huckabee, says opposite. I think he looks at it and goes, okay, my goal is to end the war. I don't know if that is where our supporters are. And my concern is that there are people in his ear that are distracting him from a support of Israel like he previously has had. That there are people on the right, and maybe even the more on the, I guess you'd say the alt-right, I don't really like using that term, but the more you know, social media right, some of which are maybe largely due to his success running for president, that could have won him the election, who are saying Israel's creating, you know, has a genocide going on and is using those terms. And I worry who is in his ears for that, because we know President Trump, he loves his base, and he certainly doesn't want to disrupt that as well. I think he thinks for himself, but I also think there's that concern. I've always had that concern. I've talked to you all about that, which are certain conservative, you'd say influencers, I guess, or podcasters or broadcasters who have not only just turned on Israel, which I understand having a real problem with maybe the humanitarian side that's going on right there, but have really started to bring up a lot of old anti-Semitic tropes. And that has become the currency. The currency has been against Jewish people, not against even a government. Look, there are people who protest in Israel, plenty of people that protest the Netanyahu administration. That's fine. More power to them. I believe we should be able to have these peaceful protests. You should be able to have free and open elections. But it doesn't come without some sort of consequence. And I think they also paint with too broad of a brush when it comes to Jewish people, Israeli people. And now we're at a point where I look through the comments, and yeah, a lot of you can identify who I'm talking about. I don't want to dignify them with their names because I just don't care to give them any more attention. And we're going to talk to our team at ACLJ Jerusalem coming up, because I do think that is important. Now, what does that have to do with China? I think it has to do with how you negotiate people, but China, a little bit different. China's opening up a Disney parks. You know, it's a little different.
It relates, though, as well, is that who is a big trading partner and ally with Iran? China. Russia. So at this point, when we have this world that has drawn lines in the sand, and part of that you see in Ukraine. That's part of the reason why President Trump wants to end that war instead of getting us more entangled with it. You start to see, if that were to break out into another hot war in another area of the world, that is pretty much by definition at that point World War III. If the United States is now actively engaged and they are receiving support in Iran from Russia and the Chinese, then it becomes a de facto world war. And that would only increase because both sides would be trying to push for something that have serving the opposite interests of very large superpowers around the world. So when you have that type of situation, I personally don't believe that maybe you can get the perfect deal with a genocidal theocratic regime like Iran, but you at least have to give credit to the administration that it's not first looking for direct war, knowing the implications of China and Russia being allies and trading partners with Iran, because that is trying to stop us from going further. Now, maybe there's other sideline negotiations. Maybe part of these deals are saying, hey, if we have to take these steps, back off. We aren't privy to everything that goes down with that. But I think that that is also what people looked for when they voted for the president, is that keep World War III at bay. And I think that's what he's trying to do with Iran. I don't personally believe that you can get the perfect deal that you need to get rid of the nuclear program with Iran through the negotiations. But I think that is why, at least when you look at the philosophy behind it, that's why someone like President Trump went there first. It's not just about Iran. It's about the superpowers that back Iran and how that could implicate us and our soldiers
and our
economy.
And how you actually do stop a World War III from occurring, when that could very much amplify into that, when you do have these superpowers who have pretty strong militaries and weaponry, and all of a sudden you have unleashed a war that you are not prepared for, or that you are not wanting, not even not prepared for, you're not wanting. No one wants to see us end up in some global war. And I think my problem with that is that we're not going to even know we're in it until it's already halfway done, because of the way it's not traditional war. It's not what you think of with World War II. It's not what you think about Vietnam. It's a different kind of warfare that's happening. Look, we got a second half hour coming up. I want you to join us as the summer is heating up fast for our legal team, and they are in court right now. I'm going to read you a couple of these. Tomorrow we're in the court in the defense of those Chicago street preachers who arrested for presenting the gospel. Next Monday, join us presenting oral interventions, my brother, at the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva. Also on Monday, we're representing a Jewish student at the New York Law School who has endured significant anti-Semitic attacks, and we're urging the school to protect her and all Jewish students. And we just filed a preliminary injunction on the pro-life viewpoints. We'll talk about that coming up. We're right back. Second half hour.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo, second half hour of the broadcast. If you missed the first half, you can obviously get it later on. You can get it later on, available on the podcast feed. You can find it on YouTube, on Rumble, wherever you get it. But right now we are live, as we always are, broadcasting. Guess what happened? During the break, we lost a bunch of phone calls. I don't know if there was a glitch, if there was a problem, something happened. Guess what? This is an incredible time for you to call in and have your voice heard. We're going to restate what the main topic of the show is. But look, I'm willing to get a little wild here. If you got some other topics you want to talk about, well, I'll tell phone screener, loosen up a little bit. Just don't curse, because we're on terrestrial radio.
There is also an interesting update about the topic we talked about earlier in the week, that if people want to call in about this, this is where...
You've got to be more specific, Will.
I'm getting to it, Logan.
Present a show to me as the executive producer, and there's 18 topics. So what topic?
Never once have I proposed to you 18 topics.
No, I'm at eight. Let's go at eight.
I don't even know about that.
Two per segment.
Never. Not even once.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So what we look at here, though, is that Gavin Newsom had already filed that lawsuit against the President Trump and the administration and the DOD for sending in the National Guard. And then when President Trump activated more National Guard, he tried to get an emergency temporary restraining order. Sounds like we've heard this again, where they rush to the judge and say, please just stop the president right now. And that's one of the issues, the universal TROs that are before the Supreme Court right now. But this was in California to a judge that was appointed by President Bill Clinton. That's who they went to, and they said, you got to stop him now. Issue us a temporary restraining order, emergency status right here. You got to do it. And what did that judge do? Did it give Gavin Newsom what he wanted?
What do we learn from the judges? The judges usually side, but where did this one go, Will?
This one said, you know what? Let's think about this for a minute. I'm going to set a hearing date for Thursday.
Put it on pause.
So on Tuesday, he asked for this emergency temporary restraining order. The judge did not grant it and said, instead, let's have a hearing about this on Thursday, where both sides can present their arguments. So
they went to the wrong kind of Democrat.
Well, they went to a Bill Clinton Democrat.
They went to a Bill Clinton Democrat, which would be a Republican probably now. So they went to that and said, you know what? We found ourselves a Democrat. No one looked at what he was put in, and he was put in during an administration where the economy was doing pretty well. The 90s were pretty awesome. We got a little haywire there towards the end, but, you know, for a little while, things were going pretty well, and now you have a situation. People tell me to calm down, Will. Did I insult you again?
You were bullying me on air, and everyone saw it. Everyone saw it.
All right, well, I apologize to you, the listener. Not to you. To the listener, if I came off as yelling. I see a lot of people all caps. Like President Trump.
Well,
let's go restate a little bit what we are talking about, because the phone lines are completely open still, by the way, and that doesn't mean no one's listening. I actually can look at the numbers and see that more than usual are listening right now. So why are you calling me? Give me a call. A lot of clowns coming in. Send in those clowns. 1-800-684-3110. But Will, what we were talking about is the landmark deal announced this morning. President Trump said, hey, we got a deal with China. The deal is done. Now, by done, it isn't signed, by it is handshaked.
Right. What it means is that the negotiating teams have come up with the final package to present to both the President of the United States and Xi Jinping to sign off on it. So the negotiators have said, this is it. We've got it. We're done. They're not going to continue negotiations. This is what it will be up to the world leaders to agree upon. And what it is, in the terms that we have seen, obviously, these aren't this simple. It's not just four bullet points and you're done. But the U.S. will keep around 55% tariffs on Chinese goods. That's the baseline 10% plus a 25% tariff because of the fentanyl situation, where they are sending the precursors around the world so the cartels can manufacture fentanyl and then flood the American market with it. China is only putting a 10% tariff on our goods. Student visas, that will resume. We'll see what that looks like as well as the rare earth minerals and the magnets and things that we need for technology will immediately resume. So no disruption in the supply chain.
All right. We're going to take your calls coming up. I want to hear from you. Look, the ACLJ team is hard at work. Even if you are reading these comments right now, you think that we're just a bunch of goofballs, Will.
We like each other.
One person
though
said, like, it's like someone's going, I'm telling mom that we're having a fight.
Mom and dad are fighting.
Yeah. Someone said that we're like Barnabas and Paul.
Who's who?
I don't know. Maybe they could let us know. I'd like to think we're both Paul.
Be nice.
1-800-684-3110. Give us a call. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. If you just saw in the comments, if you were able to watch in the breaks, which some of you do on our social feeds, if you're on YouTube or Rumble, you don't get advertisements. You'll get some videos our team put together. Mike Huckabee made a pretty strong statement. I wanted to get thoughts from our ACLJ Jerusalem office because, look, I think we're talking about the ambassador to Israel. He's questioning the existence or the need of a two-state solution, something that has been a catch-all phrase, I feel like, for my entire life. You've heard two-state solution. Now you have an option where he's saying, yeah, there could be a two-state solution, but that doesn't mean that state's got to be on the same strip of land that's currently in Israel. Do we have the bite? Can we play it? Let's play it, and then we'll get Jeff. I want to get your feedback there at ACLJ Jerusalem.
What does that Palestinian state look like?
Okay.
Where is it? Where is it going to be?
Well, what
does
are the
it
options?
Have to be in Judea and Samaria? Does it need to be somewhere different? Does it need to be an opportunity for people to have a true place that is completely their own?
But
or is it going to
be
in the existing areas that are currently under the dominion of the PA? So there's a lot of questions. That's why I'm saying I don't believe anybody can say it's impossible. It'll never happen. But if someone wants to declare that this is the exact strip of geography that is going to be the future Palestinian state, that's where the complication comes from.
All right, Jeff, let's get your feedback on this. Clearly a very different tone coming from Ambassador Huckabee.
Sure. Well, this is actually Ambassador Huckabee's standpoint, I'm pretty sure, for decades. And it's actually been, you know, you mentioned, Logan, before we went into hearing that clip, that you remember this basically for all of your life, for most of your life. Well, I'm a little older than you. So the truth is that there's a whole media narrative that says that the two-state solution has always been the policy. That's just not true. The two-state solution idea is younger than Google. Two-state solution idea was anathema to American policy. Didn't matter, Republicans, Democrats, whoever was in office, the notion of a Palestinian state was anathema, not only until Oslo was signed in 1993, but even 5 years later. People don't remember this. In May of 1998, First Lady Hillary Clinton opined on her own that maybe a Palestinian state wouldn't be a terrible idea. And the Clinton White House went out multiple times to say she's off the reservation, that's not our policy. And everybody, including the New York Times, agreed that the notion of a Palestinian state at that point was considered anathema to American foreign policy. Well, all we're happening now is a corrective. And more than that, people really aren't paying attention. In the first Trump administration, January of 2020, they signed that big deal or his vision for peace in the Middle East, including what would happen to the Arabs here, which people like to call Palestinians. Again, a name that didn't exist. There were no Palestinian Arabs until the 1960s when they couldn't, you know, destroy Israel another way. They created this notion that there's another indigenous people here. There's not. And at that time, President Trump and that deal gave the Palestinians 5 years to turn away from terror, after which all bets were off. There would be no more Palestinian state. Well, that 5 years came and went 6 months ago. And obviously the Palestinians didn't turn away from terror. They doubled down and tripled down with the worst terror attacks, honestly, the worst attacks of any kind against Jews since the Holocaust. And so, yeah, it's time for real politic and moral politic. And the answer is, I think Mike Huckabee is right. And we'll see, you know, we were talking earlier that there are other voices in President Trump's ear. We'll see where this ends. But I'll tell you, here in Israel, this is greeted with much happiness and joy and big sighs of relief, because it's really about time the world recognize that the Palestinians do not want peace. They do not want coexistence.
I'm sure the UN and the ICC will start, investigating Ambassador Huckabee for thought crime at this point, because he's saying the uncomfortable truths that the world doesn't want to hear out loud, but what we have been talking about on this broadcast for decades at this point. And when you hear even finally the refreshing nature of having someone like Ambassador Huckabee, who's been a governor, who's run for president, who's been a broadcaster, who knows how to speak with the media in very frank terms, in very disarming terms, but telling the truth, even just saying to the Bloomberg reporter that, you know, Muslim countries have 644 times the amount of land that are controlled by Israel. If there's such a desire for a Palestinian state, well, maybe there's someone else that would say, we'll host it. One, we know that the flip side of that is that there's a reason that all the neighboring countries do not want to take refugees from Gaza or refugees from the West Bank or Judea and Samaria, because of the same reason that they're attacking Israel. They know what comes with that. But even just putting it out there with just the numbers of it, if this is the deal breaker, why don't you give them some of your land and putting the, you know, flipping it on them, so to speak?
Look, the UN has UNRWA, which is it's especially designated section just to deal with so-called Palestinian refugees. It defines Palestinian refugees as anybody, by the way, not Jewish, who happened to be in this area during the period of 1946 to 1948, which has nothing to do with being indigenous whatsoever. And the point is to keep them in forever as refugees in order to undo the state of Israel. And that's why they wouldn't let them leave during a war in Gaza. They kept them bottled in there. This is all very evil stuff. And the fact that, going back to, you know, what Logan said is so important, because the narrative that it has to be a two-state solution, that narrative is what, it's true for the last 25 years, that's all people are hearing, but that's 25 years is not a long time. We're not talking about a huge sea change now. We're talking about a corrective action. We're talking about moving back to what was American policy before and moving back to the kind of policy that could actually bring peace. Now, again, Mike Huckabee, the ambassador, he spoke personally, and it's unclear where the administration is currently. I think it's probably a moving target, but it's important now to give you the Israeli point of view, which is Israel has passed multiple resolutions in Knesset showing that there is a supermajority here that is against any concept of a Palestinian state anywhere in this land. And I'll say something else, which is the state of Israel itself only occupies a small sliver of the Jews' homeland, which was considered the national home for the Jews. And it was divided up by the Europeans in the last century, and only about 20% came to Israel. And they're trying to take that 20%. So really, we're talking about something which makes a lot more sense, which is there's a lot of Arab and Muslim territory. These are Arabs and Muslims. Why can't they be there?
Yeah, Jeff, when people hear the two-state solution thing, it seems very easy. It feels like it's almost the cop-out, because you go, oh, that's what everyone wants. Clearly, that's what Israel would want, too. But we've seen what the idea of peace looks like, and certainly right now, we are seeing that that is a very hard goal to accomplish. And it has been, by the way, for, I mean, how many years that we've been dealing with this type of situation? Well before the October 7th attack, that just sort of took it over the line. This is something that has been, like you said, normalized in American media, the two-state solution. And now, sadly, and look, maybe there's some pushback. Actually, I could say that the selfie yacht didn't help anybody. I don't even think it helped the pro-Palestinian cause or the humanitarian cause. I think people saw it as the show it was with Greta Thunberg. But you still have people, and look, it makes me a little nervous, that are in President Trump's ear, that are in, you know, that maybe they're not even specifically in his ear, but they're in his sphere, in his realm, who are now using words like genocide, who are using words that should make us all, you know, wake up a little bit.
You're absolutely right. And it's another example. Again, we at the ACLJ are dealing with this, fighting this on so many different fronts, and the fronts often are very much in Washington and within our own supposed, you know, conservative movement. There are people who are on the other side. There are people who think that, by the way, there are people who think that their Christianity is built on opposing the existence of the state of Israel or the Jewish people. Some of those people are getting more and more assent in the last, you know, in this administration or the previous ones. They came in as part of a coalition, and hopefully there'll be pushback against that. And we do have to continue working to make sure that, you know, it's not good for America either to present this. The same people seem to be supporting Iran and Qatar and, you know, and all these groups that are not our friends, not America's friends. Israel is America's friend, has been America's friend. And so, yes, we're very much on one side of that. But here, it's received in Israel well, that this is what's being spoken of by people high in the administration, and we want to see more of it.
Great, Jeff. Thanks for joining us from ACLJ Jerusalem. Look, it's always important to have Jeff on and for you to hear the perspective of what's going on actually on the ground. It's why we have an office there. It is why we have even our European Center, because we want to make sure that you know that your values are being spread all across the world. And those don't have to always line up with one particular political party. As we said, we got to make sure that we have influence wherever we are. We got to make sure that my brother can go present an oral intervention next week at the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva. That doesn't sound like some place that would be super friendly to us. And guess what? They're not, but we have status there. We're able to actually get it done. We're actually able to get the work done when a lot of people cannot. And speaking of anti-Semitism, we are currently representing on Monday, we're representing a Jewish student at New York Law School, has endured significant anti-Semitic attacks since October 7th, urging the school in general to protect her and all Jewish students. We've also filed a preliminary injunction for pro-life causes right now that we're working on. We have so many cases going on, but let's also not forget about the media side of this, because it's so important to make sure our content is always available to you. It's always available to you without a paywall. We're available on all the three options. You're available on YouTube, we're available on Rumble, we're on ACLJ.org, all your favorite podcast players, the Salem News Channel, which is a free platform to get a lot of great voices, a lot of interesting voices, a 24-hour news network that is available on most people's smart televisions. You can find it on Pluto or Samsung Plus. Just look it up, Salem News Channel. A lot of great places. We can't be on those. It's not like it's free. It's not like this doesn't cost money to produce this show. And when I say best of the best, I mean it in terms of our crew, in terms of our legal team, Jeff and ACLJ Jerusalem. So phone lines right now are open for you. And I want to hear from you, even if you're just calling with a message of support as we head towards the back half of this week. 1-800-684-3110. Because I always say the most important voice in the room is yours. And I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back. To Seculo. Phone lines are still open for you. We got two lines open at 1-800-684-3110. We'll get to those in just a second. I did want to break sort of some very sad news for those rock and roll fans, music fans, America's band, the Beach Boys. Brian Wilson has sadly passed away. He was a genius, a musical icon, created some of the greatest American music that ever existed. Timeless music with the Beach Boys. A guy who went through a whole lot, and hopefully he's at peace now. So we'll send our love to Brian Wilson, and also our friend Mike Love, who is obviously still out there as the lead singer of the Beach Boys and has been championing that brand for a long time. And he's been a friend of ours for a number of years. So our thoughts and our prayers are to the Wilson family and to everyone who loves the Beach Boys and that music, which is, I think, everyone. I don't know anyone who can't put on Pet Sounds and not feel like it's one of the greatest American creations in our entire existence. So let's go ahead, though. We'll move on. We'll take some phone calls. I want to make sure we get to as many as we can. And speaking of Salem News Channel, which we talked about earlier, we got a call coming in. Someone who's watching on Salem News Channel. Peter in California, you're on the air.
Hello. Yeah, I'm calling from San Diego. I'm a retired Navy, and I was in Vietnam. I just wanted to say I appreciate you guys. The long-term solution, I think, to Iran should be just to let them have a nuclear weapon and say, hey, if you get a nuclear weapon, we're putting a bullseye on every Iranian, and that you'll be committing suicide if you develop it and threaten Israel. Well, and that's the long-term solution. I don't know why we're delaying it, because it's ultimately going to happen. So why can't we just let them have it, and then Trump can concentrate on Gaza, Palestinian home state if they can get it out there and get it done, and just ending the war in Russia. And I appreciate you guys again. You're the younger, more intellectual viewing we have in San Diego. So thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, Peter. I think part of the reason why they don't want them to actually get the bomb, and why kind of the trigger point is more focused on the enrichment capability, is because they don't want the repercussions if they say, all right, once you get it, we're going to go after you, and then they have a weapon they can actually use and cause even more death and destruction. But when you hear the president saying that, you know, we aren't going to let you have it. If you don't come to a deal, we will have to do it militarily. There, he's effectively saying what your suggestion is, Peter, that, you know, if you get it, all bets are off. They're just drawing the line a little bit earlier, saying that you'll never get it because we don't want you to, as we're going to strike to eliminate it, you send off a nuclear weapon, which then kills innocent civilians in Israel, in the region, in another, at a U.S. airbase that is in Bahrain or something like that, that is very close to Iran. So I think your philosophy on this and suggestion is very close to where the president is. He's just saying, we'll do it one step closer.
All right, let's continue on, try to get the rest of these calls. Let's go Dorothy, who's calling in Ohio on line two. Dorothy, go ahead.
I was just calling to say that I think we should give President Trump a little more grace. He is trying to bring financially the economy back, and I think he's done a tremendous job in a little over 100 days. He's brought about $10 trillion worth of business back into our country, not to mention the manufacturing jobs and that through the trade. And also, as far as Iran, he has to let them give him a reason to take out their facilities. You know, it would look better optionally for him to give them something in black and white, you know, that you're not going to increase your nuclear ability, put that in writing. And if you do, you know, we have a reason. Just give us a reason and we're taking it out. So I understand that, and I think we should give him more grace on that. And I think he's doing a fantastic job.
I appreciate your call. I think you came in with a nuanced answer that a lot of people agree with. I don't think we're not trying to slam on President Trump or any of the deals. I just know that I'm looking at the comments. I know there's a lot of confusion, specifically when it comes to doing a deal with a country like China, when they've kind of made them into, and not say they aren't, into an adversarial force. What does it look like when you start signing contracts with those? Same thing when you're dealing with Israel. I think we have one more call. We'll talk about that. But is there anything you want to comment on?
Yeah, I do want to add to Dorothy's point is that what you were told was that the tariff plan in all of this was going to just destroy the economy. It was going to be over. Inflation was going to soar. The stock market was going to, everyone was going to lose their retirement. That's what you were told by mainstream media, by politicians that didn't agree with it. And tariff policy isn't my favorite form of economic policy in general.
It's not traditional conservative.
Right. You know, now, if we could go back to pre-President Wilson, and that was the only way that we raise revenue with no income tax, sign me up for that. But that's a different tirade I'll go down.
What years were Wilson?
30s. When you look at the, or even pre that.
Yeah.
When you look at the CPI, Consumer Price Index, that it moderately, very nominally rose this month.
1913. Over 100 years.
But when you look at the CPI being at only 2.4%, just nominally above the target rate for the Fed, you look at the fact that energy and food, which is core CPI, only at 2.8%.
Consumer Price Index.
It's what they take as a basket of goods, and they see what the prices change month over month, and that's your inflation rate.
CPI.
But when you look at all this, is that the truth is the tariff policy didn't destroy the economy like they said was going to happen. And in reality, what you're seeing is deals that can be made. And when we keep these tariffs at a higher rate on China and are able to continue to try to bring manufacturing back without disrupting the global economy in the short run, we were already doing this business with China. This isn't new business. This is trying to get us a better deal and a better path
to business,
forward,
if you will,
for the United States so that we can become less reliant on China.
Let's go to Noah, who's calling from Vermont. Last call of the day. Noah, you're on the air.
Okay. Hi. It's the first time I'm actually on watching your station. I don't think you have to worry about anybody whispering in Trump's ear regarding genocide of the Jews and Israelis. I'm Israeli, by the way. At any case, you know, his daughter is married to a Jewish guy. His grandchildren from that daughter are Jews.
Noah, I don't disagree with you. I think he's one of the strongest presidents in support of Israel. The problem is there has been a lot of people who have been doing those whispers. And what you may see, as you know, as someone who's Israeli, is it's not always a hardcore conservative group. What happens when Netanyahu is out of office? Or if that happens, and we know the Israeli government is probably, if you think our politics is crazy, you should go to Israel, because it is constantly changing and evolving, and people are out of job or in jail or back or somehow do. It feels like there's always something happening. So what happens? Because our support of Israel goes beyond politics. We believe in a right for Israel to exist, period. It doesn't matter if there's a liberal leadership or conservative leadership, because those don't even necessarily line up with American conservative and liberal. So my concern is that you also have President Trump. If he doesn't have as friendly of a person working in Israel, what does that look like? I also have some concern about some influencers. I do. And I think, Noah, I hope you're right. He has been a great supporter of Israel over the years. But there are people in the administration or advising the administration right now that do not have that opinion. And that's okay. It's okay to have people of difference of opinions. I just want to make sure that we're still holding strong. That's why the ACLJ, you'll always know, we are here to support. support Israel, support your values in Israel. If you want to be part of ACLJ Jerusalem, go to aclj.org right now, become a champion.